Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you are listening to Educational HR Radio on the HR Power Hour. That's at HRPowerHour.com. Today, our guest is Shantanu Nundy. We're going to call him Dr. Nundy because he's a medical doctor and chief medical officer for Accolade. And Accolade is a company that provides tech healthcare services to Fortune 500 companies and small businesses. Welcome to the show.
David, absolute pleasure to be here. Thanks for having us.
No, thank you so much. And your topic today, Care After COVID, of course, it's your book, What the Pandemic Revealed is Broken in Healthcare and How to Reinvent It. Is something that is so timely and so currently and so needed out there. I mean, let's just start right at the beginning, right? Let's just start at the beginning. Nobody, I think, predicted this pandemic. Maybe you're the one doctor who did. You can tell me if that's the case, and then we'll get you a big audience. But nobody predicted it. Healthcare was kind of moving along. We had the Affordable Care Act. We had a lot of things going on, but nobody was talking about this. How have you seen it affect, just in the general sense, healthcare today?
Yeah, it's such a good question. And no, I did not predict this. I think I learned a lot through it. What I think, where I'm at right now in terms of what we've seen is that in so many ways, COVID has really magnified, what's wrong with the healthcare system, right? I think so many of us have been shocked, we've been dismayed, we've been frustrated as we've tried to get testing and tried to, figure out how to see our loved ones in the hospital or new babies born and all sorts of things like that. But I think really what it did was just magnified that this isn't an anomaly. In so many respects, this what we're seeing is business as usual for healthcare, but just accentuated.
When you look at the healthcare system itself, I mean, we all know that it has become over the years, especially over the last 10 years, the consolidation in the healthcare industry has been, for lack of a word, ginormous. The amount of hospitals that are being bought up, the amount of practices that are being bought up, the amount of centralization that is happening, all in the effort, of course, to centralize care and centralize record keeping and centralize the information. How has that, if you want to call it, challenged the system or put a real spin in today's problem?
Yeah, that's a really great, I think, insight. I think what it's done is, right, there's sort of good consolidation and there's bad consolidation, right? The bad consolidation takes, a problem and then just makes the problem bigger. And good consolidation takes, a problem and actually fixes it. I think when you look at, for example, hospitals that have acquired other hospitals or other clinics, the theory behind it, I think, makes some sense, right? Like you said, that your records are in one place, that when you go from primary care doctor A to specialist B, that specialist B knows exactly what A did and A knows exactly what B did. But the reality, I think, was that we didn't solve those problems. We still have walled gardens between A and B. And at the same time, we've just, increased, the prices on patients and plan sponsors. And so we haven't seen, I think, the impact. What we haven't seen is the actual experience of a human being, a patient, and their family getting care hasn't fundamentally changed. And I think if we don't do that, we can do all the buying and all the merging and all the consolidating we want. But if we don't solve that problem, then we can't expect outcomes to change.
Well, certainly today, when you think about the fact that telemedicine has begun to revolutionize. I mean, that's the one thing that was kind of on the fringe before COVID. You know, we know that, you know, the insurance companies and some of the other platforms were talking about telemedicine, and they maybe had a few RNs on standby for people who could talk, but it certainly wasn't as mainstream as today. Do you find that being one of the biggest changes that has happened? Of course, we've got to get into the whole, you know, the company side of this, but I'm just talking at the, you know, 30,000 feet.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think, look, I think one of the things that I've been sort of telling people is healthcare has changed more in the last 1 year than it has in its entire modern history. And in a good way, right? You know, we say that, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. I think most of us, we think about COVID and the pandemic, we only think bad things, but just like in our personal lives, there's been a silver lining. There has been a major silver lining. And that's a big part of it is what you touched on, which is the acceleration of virtual. And you're right. You know, as for me, you know, I like to think of myself as a younger doctor. I like to think that I like technology. I was an engineer before I went into medicine. I had never done a virtual visit prior to COVID, and I never, as a patient, participated in a virtual visit. And I now have done both many, many times. And I think I'm not unique. You know, many doctors and many patients have had the experience for the first time. And the experience they had isn't just on the fringes, to use your word. It hasn't just been and sort of the, you know, I have a sniffle or I got a little back pain or sinusitis. People are using virtual to do primary care. They're using it to do mental health care. I actually did physical therapy on my low back completely virtually during the pandemic. So it's been a real silver lining.
The other part that I find fascinating about this, and of course, I think as we get into the, you know, the information on your book, which we're going to certainly talk about, especially we start in the second segment here, the technology has changed as well. I mean, one of the things that I found fascinating was, you know, some healthcare providers are talking about taking your pulse through your iPhone camera and doing things that you would never imagine being able to do just from a technology perspective. And that has absolutely changed our ability to get record keeping and do things that we could have never done without going somewhere.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. That's true. And I think, you know, it's been exciting to see a lot of this technology, which some of it's been around, but really, you know, find its place during this time. You know, I mentioned a second ago that I, for example, got physical therapy in my low back. The way it worked was fascinating. Like, I got a care package in the mail. In the care package was this, you know, beautiful box, kind of like a Steve Jobs, Apple kind of box. Opened up the box, there was a Samsung Galaxy tablet for me and these little contraptions, which I wasn't quite sure what to do with. But what I did was, every time I would do physical therapy, I would actually strap these sensors onto my legs, my arms, and my chest. And as I would do physical therapy, the system would give me feedback to say, you kind of turned a little bit to the right too much, or you didn't put the weight on your foot the way you were supposed to. And yeah, like you said, there's been, I think, real advances in technology that we're finally benefiting from and have a real use case.
You think, and I know that certainly when I talk to business leaders and people out there that deal with the healthcare industry a lot, there's this maybe concern about privacy. And while certainly in our situation, personally, you know, younger people or people who have been dealing with technology for a while seem to have a much different view of privacy than maybe and I do believe it's generational a little bit from that perspective. Do you see that is something that healthcare providers and leaders have to deal with in terms of breaking through that barrier?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think so much of the concerns about privacy and data, I think the real underlying issue that where people are feeling is trust, right? Healthcare, the currency of healthcare is trust. And I think as we move to a virtual world, but even in healthcare brick and mortar, that trust is so central. And I think sometimes it manifests as a question about privacy or a question about confidentiality. Sometimes it manifests about concerns about surprise billing or other things. But I really think that's the core sort of undercurrent. And I think that, you know, technology innovators and healthcare companies and providers have to explicitly design for that trust. You know, it's not a, solving for privacy isn't just a technology or data issue. It's really about how do you create that transparency and that feeling of, hey, this is something that is real and that has human beings behind it and that has my best interests at heart. That's a real challenge, particularly as in a digital world, but it's going to be essential.
We're talking with Dr. Nundy. Of course, he's the chief medical officer at Accolade. They're a healthcare services provider to small business and Fortune 500 companies. And we're talking about his book, Care After COVID, What the Pandemic Revealed is Broken in Healthcare and How to Reinvent It. I know your book came out May 4th, and I'm sure you're excited about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Really excited to help shape the national conversation.
Do you think when you decided to write this book, did you think about the impact it might have out there in the world today in terms of the conversation?
Yeah, I mean, that gets exactly to the heart of why I wrote it. You know, I, like so many Americans, was sitting there, you know, in April and May of the first couple of months of the of COVID and looked at, you know, the empty streets, looked at what was happening to, you know, our neighbors, my patients. And I really sat there and stared at it and thought, you know, what can I do? What's my role in it? And right then, if the first few months, if you remember it, one of the big things that people were clamoring about was testing. Where can we get testing? And as someone who's, you know, spent a lot of my career kind of in the startup, entrepreneurship, sort of health tech and business community, I kind of had a really simple idea. I said, well, why aren't people just testing themselves? You know, I remembered that when I was a medical student, I did my first nasal swab for the flu. I remember there was a nurse watching me and I was like, I'm sure I'm doing this wrong, as I was sticking basically a Q-tip into this patient's nose. By the end of it, she said, nope, you did great. And I was sitting there during the pandemic and remembering that and thinking patients should be able to test themselves. And so I, you know, wrote a piece about it and kind of overnight it just blew up, you know, sort of went viral. I started doing media spots. I was in Rolling Stone magazine, which I never thought in my life would happen because, you know, everyone was interested in testing. I think it had less to do with me and more about that. But what I realized was that, you know, we had this huge calamity, but that in many respects, these very sort of simple solutions for making healthcare easier and better were not being talked about. And so that's what motivated me to write the book, was to say, I need to raise my voice. I need to take what I've learned being a doctor, being an entrepreneur, working with business leaders, and translate that into something that could help shape the conversation we're having. So yeah, I couldn't be more excited and have a deep sense of mission in what I'm trying to communicate out there.
So as a chief medical officer, I know you also a primary care physician, technologist, and obviously a business leader in this sense. Tell us a little bit about your history. I think it's important for the audience to get a little bit of a background here. You're talking about a very important, very personal subject, healthcare. And certainly we're going to talk about the aspects of HR and company aspects of this, because that is, of course, what we're talking about. But I mean, this is personal. So if you could give us a little bit of an overview of why you feel you're in a position to have credibility in this area.
Sure, absolutely. I think it, you know, I started my career really as an engineer. I had a chance to go to MIT and be an engineer. And I just loved, I guess, to fix things and solve little knickknacks. And I was sort of the person who, you know, took apart the toaster kind of thing. But, but you know, I had a chance to, my family runs a small nonprofit in India, and I would went there my first year in college to go teach English. And I walked into class that first day and I saw that all my students, my kids, and I wasn't a doctor at the time, I was just a 18-year-old, but they all seemed sick to me. And so I ended up over the course of my time in college building a small clinic for that school. And it was exhilarating. It was exhilarating to have a chance to impact people in that way. And then I had a chance to go to Hopkins for medical school. And within my first week in the school newspaper, there was an article about how somehow we gave a child 10,000 times the dose of a medication they should have had. And, you know, being incredibly naive, they mentioned a physician leader that was, you know, responsible for investigating what happened. And I sent that person a note and said, hey, you know, I just finished an engineering degree. I'm a first year medical student. Is there any way I could help? And anyways, the long story short, I ended up going to this first meeting, which, you know, had all these folks in suits, and I was there probably wearing, you know, cutout jeans. And we, as part of this root cause analysis, this is an incredible effort to really understand the systems issues underlying it. We went down to the pharmacy, where in a pediatric pharmacy, there's people like shoulder to shoulder compounding medications because every child is a different size and a different weight. And they had this system of kind of these different bins. And anyways, I came up with this idea. I said, why don't we have red bins and blue bins? Because it was so crowded. There were so many medications they were developing, putting out so quickly. Anyways, we ended up building this bin system. And that was very addictive for me. And so that's been my career, is just seeing little problems and tinkering to try to fix things. And as I've come through my career, I've had bigger and bigger chances to do that. I started my own company, which was very clinically impactful, but a huge financial failure. I had a chance to join a company that went public as sort of a manager, and now, you know, have a chance to be a C-level executive at Accolade. And so just those experiences, a lot of trying things to make healthcare better for people, and sometimes succeeding, often not, has given me, I think, a pretty unique perspective at that intersection of medicine, public health, business, and technology that I hope to use to help advocate for the kinds of solutions that I think are missing.
And we're going to talk about that advocating through your book, Care After COVID. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and podcasting nationally on your favorite podcast channels. We'll be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. Today, our guest is Shantanu Nundy. He's the author of Care After COVID, What the Pandemic Revealed is Broken in Healthcare and How to Reinvent It. The book came out yesterday, today being May 5th, and yep, the book came out on May 4th. You, of course, can go to hrpowerhour.com after this show, and we will have a link to the book so you can get it hot off the presses, right? Hot off the press. That's so right. It's good. Let's make that happen out there. All right. So, Dr. Nundy, you know, we're talking about your book now, and you kind of, thank you so much for providing in the first segment kind of the rationale and reason why you wrote it. And I think that it's certainly, when you're looking at the situation last year in 2020, there is no question that everybody wanted to say, what can I do to help? And we appreciate a platform to get that information. But I've had an opportunity to scan through your book, in terms of some of the overall concepts. And one of the things you bring up is that you're really talking about the future of healthcare, right? And you're talking about different ways of doing things. How realistic do you think some of these, in terms of your aim to actually make that transformation, is?
Yeah, that's such a great question and such a relevant question, David. What's exciting is that almost everything I advocate in the book are technologies or tools or models that exist today. The problem is that they're not stitched together, and they've not been democratized, right? Even when you talk about telemedicine, here's a really interesting sort of fact that I learned as I was working on the book, which was, you know, Alexander Graham Bell, when he invented the telephone, the first conversation he had was actually he had set up the telephone and wanted to test it out, and he actually spilled some of the battery material on his clothes. And so this first call was supposed to be a test run, but instead it was, hey, come over here and help me, get this battery material off of me. And so that was the first phone call was actually a telemedicine call. And we've had telemedicine for decades. And yet what we've seen during the pandemic is that it was massively accelerated. And so many of the ideas I have in the book are things that we have now, but it is about the future, but it's about the future that COVID has made clear. We just can't wait for anymore. It's urgent.
You know, you talk about in it basically three major areas, right? A comprehensive plan to transforming healthcare by three major areas. And I think it would be good to kind of go through those areas first. And the first one you talk about is distributed, and you talk about care being distributed. Talk a little bit about that and explain to the audience and business leaders, HR professionals, you know, why it's relevant to them and where you think this is going.
Absolutely. So distributed is the idea that care should happen where health happens, right? And health happens at home. It happens in the community, right? When you look at the conditions that affect our employees and their dependents, it's things like diabetes, it's things like hypertension, it's things like mental health. And those are things that happen outside of the healthcare system, right? It has to do with, you know, did I put a couple teaspoons of sugar in my tea? Did I, go for that exercise that I wanted to do? Did I practice mindfulness and do meditation? And all of those things happen outside of the healthcare system. So the idea is behind distributed is to bring care to where patients are, you know, and it harkens back to, you know, if you think about Marcus Welby and, you know, House Calls or even some of the foundations of public health, you know, back after World War II, and we finally had antibiotics for tuberculosis. There were these mobile vans that used to go around with these huge X-ray machines and screen people for TB. Those are the concepts. And the reason why it's relevant to business leaders is I think business leaders today understand telemedicine. They're learning a lot about home-based care. But I think what's missing in that and why I prefer the word distributed is those things have to be connected, right? So lots of people talk about how, during the pandemic, 80% of healthcare went virtual. Well, when I had to test people for COVID or you had to test yourself, someone had to stick a Q-tip in your nose. And that was not virtual, right? So the doctor part, the visit might have been, but the total care journey required some physical part in many cases. And so distributed is really acknowledging that. It's acknowledging that if you want to go purchase a telemedicine service or you want to invest in home-based services for your employees and their families, we have to do it in such a way that it's still connected to the full healthcare ecosystem, because otherwise we risk this fragmenting care even more.
Yeah, you liken it and you talk about the fact it's like banking and the fact that certainly we never would have ever thought about doing banking through our phone. Matter of fact, I recall my father passed away about 2 years ago, and even 5-6 years ago, I was starting to do all banking on my phone, right? Just with digital banking. And conceptually, he could not understand, nor would he even consider pushing that, you know, electronically through. He wanted his checkbook, he wanted his statements, and I certainly understand, you know, it's not like he's been doing it for 90, you know, almost 90 years. Look, even at my age, sometimes making things and change happens, right? So, you know, tell us a little bit about where you see, you know, this shift going and why businesses need to be so keen on it and what they can do to help about it, right? You know, how can they help move forward? Because most businesses simply do two things. They either deal with it through their insurance company, or maybe they have a wellness program or a wellness center. And maybe if you're big enough, you have, you know, a wellness department or a clinic on staff. But that's not most businesses.
Yeah, no, you brought up so many important points. I mean, I think, you know, first of all, I mean, core to, you know, I think healthcare or any well-designed service is the idea of meeting people where they are. So I think that there are going to be people who either need or prefer care kind of the old-fashioned way, and it should absolutely be available for them. This is about a both and, not an either or, right? But I think your analogy to banking is really powerful, right? Because when we bank on our phone at home, when we use an ATM machine, or if we walk into a brick and mortar bank, we all think of all of those things as banking, right? We're not going to say, "Hey, what are you up to, honey? Oh, I'm about to do, you know, banking on my mobile phone," or, you know, "What are you up to? I'm about to, you know, go to, you know, an ATM drive-through bank," right? It's all part of your bank. Just like I like to joke, when people watch Netflix, they're not saying I'm watching movies with AI. They're just using a service called Netflix, right? So In the same way, I think right now, the way we talk about healthcare is each of those things are discrete. It's, oh, this was I did a drive-through test, or I did a home service, or I did a televisit, or I did a hospital visit. Those things aren't connected, and we don't think of those as the same thing. That's the world that we're moving to. But if you extend the analogy further, we're really far from that. What happened during that got accentuated during COVID was that, imagine if you went to a bank and you say you wanted to withdraw $100 from your ATM. Imagine if the first thing it did was ask you, "Hey, what's your name and how much money do you have in your bank account?"
Yeah.
Or imagine if you deposited a check on your mobile phone at home, and then it said, "Thanks so much for your mobile deposit. Now, can you go ahead and fax a piece of paper to your bank that says that you deposited this much money," right? I mean, that'd be absurd. But that's literally how a lot of these standalone telemedicine services work. When you call a telemedicine service through your employer, and by the way, the majority of employers offer telemedicine as a benefit and have actually well before the pandemic. When you call that number, oftentimes they have zero health information about you.
Right.
And moreover, If at the end of that call the doctor says, "Hey, we want to order a test," guess what? You're completely on your own to go get that test done and then to find out the test result. And so that is the reality that I think we kind of had a sense of before the pandemic, but as telemedicine got scaled up, we realized how serious that was, particularly as telemedicine went into primary care and became less of a, you know, of a lifeline and more of the way that routine care was delivered.
When you saw this happening, and by the way, we are talking with Shantanu Nundy. He is Dr. Nundy. We were calling him today. He's the chief medical officer for Accolade. They're a tech healthcare services organization that provides care to small businesses and Fortune 500 companies. We're talking about his new book, Care After COVID. And we're also talking about right now the distributed part of his three-part comprehensive plan to transform healthcare. When you're talking about, you know, looking at putting this all together, what is it that businesses and organizations can start demanding or asking for? I want to give them a takeaway, right? Something that they can think about and use right off the spot when they're starting to talk to their insurance company, when they're talking to their medical providers. Maybe they have a care system that they go through. Talk to us a little bit about what they can talk about in terms of getting this distributed healthcare better for them.
Absolutely. No, such a great question. So as I mentioned, a lot of employers already offer telemedicine benefits, and a lot of them have been expanding them, especially during the pandemic. And I think one of the key things that we tell folks in my role at Accolade is, you know, up until now, it's really been treated as a commodity, right? When you look at the different telemedicine options in front of you, you're thinking, "Hey, where can I get the best price?" And obviously, price is super important. But what we're saying is, we need to start looking at the actual capabilities that these services offer and look at them in a much more multidimensional way, right? So for example, really even straightforward questions like, is your panel of doctors, are they physicians, or are they a mix of physicians and PAs and nurse practitioners? Do you have an electronic medical record? When my employee calls for the second time, will they have records available from what happened the first time? Can you order labs? Can you order labs to any LabCorp request in the country and so on? So there's a number of these questions that I think historically haven't been a part of the equation. And I think we're advocating that employers start to ask those questions. They have many more choices than they used to have. And we need to look at them on multiple dimensions. The second is you're not going to have one telemedicine provider that does everything, right? Just like you don't have, you know, a primary care doctor who takes care of everything from cancer to diabetes to whatnot. Similarly, employers need to have multiple telemedicine options, right? Because you might need to have one for the sniffles and the colds and the episodic care. You might need to have one who does the primary care, the longitudinal care. You might have another to do mental health care and another that does second opinions or another that does, you know, certain verticals like diabetes. And so that's the second one is let's not look at it as a commodity and let's understand each of the different segments of needs. That's sort of the third second practical recommendation. And the third is really understand who of your employees are using this and who aren't, right? Because we know that with any employer benefit, utilization is so key, and it's never as good as we want it to be. But within that, when we look at utilization, we typically say, oh, well, it's 10% or 20%. But I think digging a level deeper and saying, can you give me data on, you know, is it my high risk, my medium, or my low risk patients using this? Is our employees? Is this my African American or my Caucasian employees using this? Is this my sort of higher income or lower income employees using this? And I think that then can then inform a strategy forward for how do we make sure that those services are being used and being used equitably in the way that's ultimately going to drive the outcomes that we're all trying to achieve.
Of course, you're listening to Dr. Nundy, and we're talking about his book, Care After COVID. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, Educational HR Radio. I'm your host, David Chulo, and we're talking about his comprehensive plan to transform healthcare. We, of course, talked about being distributed. The second one fits right into what you're talking about now, digitally enabled. And I think one of the key things you just said was about record keeping. And I think one of the, you know, there's this conversation, this belief in many areas where people think that their records are nationally kept and that any company, any place, anywhere, or I should say any hospital or any caregiver anywhere can find out any record anywhere. That's not really the case, is it, today?
Absolutely not. I always tell people the most dreaded question in healthcare is, what brings you in today? Right? When you wait months for an appointment with a doctor or specialist, you filled out a bunch of waiting room forms, and yet when you walk in to see the doctor, the first thing they say is, what brings you in today? So no, that information is not seamlessly shared across the country.
And that's a problem. If you're going to digitally enable everything, how do you then address the ever-pressing problem of pre-existing things that one doctor knows the other doctor doesn't know, the medical history that somebody's on, the medical record and prescriptions that somebody's on? It becomes a real challenge for the doctor, the healthcare provider, even the PA, the nurse, to answer questions when they don't have history. And let's be honest, sometimes, I know it's hard to say, but people don't necessarily tell the truth. And because either they're afraid, not necessarily because they, you know, don't want to, but they're afraid. And there is this perception sometimes that this is difficult. You know, it's funny, Dr. Nundy, I just looked at us out of time. We're going to have to take a break. Pause that question. Think about it. We'll come back to it on the other side. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLLB 100.5 FM, and we'll be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
We're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. Of course, remember that you can listen to the HR Power Hour at HRPowerHour.com or any national podcast. Of course, your favorite one could be Spotify, could be iTunes, could be Pandora, might be Google. And we don't know where you podcast, but enjoy it and like and listen to the show and get educated, because this is HR Educational Radio. Today, our guest is great. He is Dr. Dundee, and he's a chief medical officer at Accolade. And we're talking today about his book, Care After COVID, which, of course, came out yesterday. So please go get it right off of the press, right on Amazon. Make sure you get that taken care of. And we're talking about a comprehensive plan to transform healthcare. Now, Dr. Dundee, we've been talking about this. We talked about in the first segment, of course, the three parts of this, the first being distributed, the second being digitally enabled where we are right now. And I asked at the end of the last segment a question for you. Maybe you could recap the question and give the answer.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think your question was, you know, having our health information available to whichever providers we see is critical. And yet we know that doesn't happen today. And so I think your question was really, you know, what can business leaders do about that? And I think you're right. It is foundational. And I think it's not going to be a single solution, right? I think there's certainly a role for Washington and policymakers to require interoperability. There's pieces that provider systems have to do, but there is a big role for employers. And I think a couple of them are, you know, one I touched on in the earlier segment, which is, you know, as employers make purchasing decisions, for example, in telemedicine or home-based care, making sure that those companies that you purchase from have an electronic health record even within the system that it has, right? Some of those even go a step further and ask them, you know, for example, do you integrate lab data with LabCorp and Quest? Some of them do, and some of them don't. But that's not a question that I think they often get, you know, through the procurement process. And I think it's a critical one. I think another one is the role that we play. As employers, we have access to claims data. It's not as granular as clinical healthcare data, but it's very powerful. At Accolade, you know, we get claims data from the vast majority of our customers. And claims data, right, you can see the diagnoses someone has, you can see the medications that they have, the hospitalizations that they've had. So even that, sharing that data that you have or that your carriers have, which often is as simple as requesting it with the different vendors or partners that you have, can make a huge difference to the care that your employees receive. And the last one is that education part, right? You know, a lot of the vendors and systems out there in telemedicine, for example, have you know, a waiting room form or a form that you fill out, but it's optional. And you can imagine most of us, like we do, just skip ahead and go, hey, I just want to see the doctor. But really educating our employees to say, when you access these services that we're providing to you for free or low cost, go ahead and take that extra step. Even when you don't think that your problem that you're calling in for, which is, you know, you think you got a urinary tract infection and you want to call in and just talk to a doctor, you might not think it has to do with your blood pressure, but go ahead and fill it out, because you know what? Maybe that blood pressure medicine you take is a diuretic, and a diuretic is something that makes you go to the bathroom often. And that might actually be the reason you're urinating frequently and not the fact that you have an infection. And so just that education piece to say, hey, it's a little extra work, but fill that out. All of those pieces together can make an impact to give sort of that more holistic care and high quality care that we all want for our employees.
The third segment you talk about is decentralized. And we talked a little bit in the, I believe it was the first segment, about obviously this centralization, Deb, if you could fix that, please. The centralization of healthcare. You actually have the opposite thought process, which is to decentralize healthcare. Explain that, because you're bucking the trend.
You're right. I am. I'm being a little provocative. So when I define decentralized, what I mean is putting the decision-making, the resources, and the responsibility closer to the people who are close to care, right? So putting those in the hands, ideally, of doctors and patients themselves, right? Because right now, part of the trend that's happening, if you look at, say, value-based care, it's, hey, we're going to make the doctor responsible for your outcomes, like an accountable care organization. That's a really great idea. But the problem is the doctor doesn't have the resources or the decision-making authority that are needed to come with it, right? Or what we saw with consumer-directed health plans. We said, okay, patients, you guys have skin in the game. You now have to, you know, cost share and here's some tools. But they didn't really have the resources to be really responsible and accountable for their care. And so we saw the result that we got. And so the idea of decentralization is we do need to put it closer to the people who are most affected by care and who own care decisions, but we have to be comprehensive about how we do that.
When you think about the fact that these entities sometimes compete, right? I mean, one of the challenges that I know companies face is that you have insurance companies that compete for your business. You have medical providers that compete for your business. You have hospitals that compete for the business. And typically, whether we like it or not, the reality is that if you are in a healthcare system, no matter what the system is, could be five hospitals, could be one hospital, could be 50, could be 100 hospitals, they want to keep you in the system. So they will refer inward, not necessarily and you know outward, unless they have to. How does an organization who is getting, and is of course very cost conscious, because today more than ever, I shouldn't say more than ever, in recent history, healthcare continues to go up, as you know. So how do you balance that and bring that all together? What's your thoughts and ideas for companies and business and HR professionals who are dealing with this challenge?
Yeah, it's a huge challenge, no question about it. I think for me, it starts with recognizing like why we're all in this to begin with, right? Is that we want the absolute best outcomes for the people that we're responsible for. And in the case of employers, you know, employees and their dependents. And that a lot of the things that are purported to be in the best interest of that patient and their families may not be, right? When they say, if you get your oncology care where you get your primary care and it's all a part of one system, yeah, that might be true. But if you look at the whole picture, it's, well, what do we really want for that person? And are there other ways to solve that problem? Is there another oncologist who has more expertise here? And is there another way that we can make sure that their care is seamless between those two entities, right? And it's really trying to understand that a big part of what we do need to do is unbundle care, right? We need to get our services at the best place they are. Like, think about what we've done with our, you know, television, right? You used to get one cable, you know, you'd get 150 channels or 50 channels or 500 channels, and you won't watch 99% of those channels, right?
All factually true. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Right. And so, but now what do? We stream and get the different services and we piece together exactly what works for us. You know, I got Disney Plus because I got little kids at home, and you have, you know, HBO because you love watching, you know, those different special movies. Right. And that's what we need to do in healthcare. We need to recognize that we're not all the same. Our employees and their families aren't the same. We're all in different parts of our care journey. And that what we really need to do is unbundle care and then sort of reconstruct it with the patient, the family, the employee, the dependent at the center.
The last part I'd mention about this is the question, again, a little bit about cost. You know, you talk to some healthcare professionals and they'll acknowledge they don't really know what some things cost. I mean, you can get a bill from a hospital and it can have an incredible array of pricing. And unfortunately, we know it's true, the consumer is not well-versed in shopping. So how can a company or organization try to help when it comes to providing them real choice?
Yeah, such an important question. And really, I mean, I think the reality is, and it's only become more true in the past 9 months, is healthcare is incredibly complex. It's complex to the point of doctors and patients make bad decisions, not because they're bad people, not because they don't want the best health or because they're trying to cheat the insurance companies, just because it's so darn complex. And frankly, what I've found in my personal life and certainly in my professional life is you just need a trusted advocate. You need a health assistant. You need someone to go with you on the journey, right? Because I think we've tried to do the self-service tools as employers, right? We've tried to get the price transparency or the cost tools, you know, things like Castlight, and they haven't panned out. And that's for a lot of different reasons. The healthcare data we have isn't good enough. Just because someone is lower cost doesn't mean they're taking new patients. And you know what? When you have an oncologic problem, maybe cost isn't the most important thing on you and your family's mind. Maybe it's finding the best damn doctor you can find to beat this cancer, right? And so because of all those reasons, because it's not just about data, it's also about understanding the data, to your point, really having that dedicated, navigator who's impartial, not part of the plan, who's advocating for you, who has specialized tools and specialized training and data, who can translate that for you and help hold your hand. I think that's a solution that, frankly, every person in America, for as long as this healthcare system remains as complex as it is, just frankly need.
We're talking with Shantanu Nundy. He's the author of Care After COVID, The Doctors in the House, and we will be right back on the HR Power Hour. Listened live on WLOB 100.5 FM, and we'll be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to Educational HR Radio. Our guest today has been and continues to be Shantanu Nundy. He is the author of Care After COVID. He, of course, is the chief medical officer at Accolade, and he provides tech healthcare services to Fortune 500 companies and small businesses. Dr. Nundy, as we wrap up today, in the last few minutes here, somebody is right now listening to the show. They've heard about the book. They're trying to determine should they purchase it. Of course, it was released yesterday, and I tell them they should get it off hot off the press. And I'm sure you agree. Why should you know? What is it that someone could expect as they read this book to get and can help them in their personal and business careers?
Yeah, absolutely, David. I think one of the things that we've learned during the pandemic is that CEOs of companies realize that healthcare is no longer only a benefits issue. It's a business continuity issue, right? As my role at Accolade, I've seen CEOs more involved in the purchasing decisions and setting back to work strategy and understanding health and healthcare in a way that we've never seen before. And I'm sure your listeners have been in those shoes where they've gotten the urgent email at 2 a.m. from their CEO asking about what are we doing about testing and why is this number what it is, right? And I think that what we've also seen is that healthcare has changed more in the past 6 months than it ever has in its entire history. And that is creating tremendous opportunity for businesses to manage their costs in a way that can serve their employees in new ways. And that's really what this book is armed to do. It's armed to prepare you for that 2 a.m. email, that it's armed to prepare you for this new healthcare world that most of your peers don't even fully realize that we've entered. And that's what this book's about. Every chapter goes through a different specific issue. So there's a whole chapter just on telemedicine, whole chapter just on home-based care, whole chapter just on this connected data issue we just talked about. And at the end of it, there are very specific bullets for the different stakeholders on what does this mean for you and what decisions you need to make differently. So that's really what we're trying to do, is arm you with that new knowledge and insight that I think very few people, now being a day after this book came out, have, and that I think will help serve you and your employers very well.
No, it's great. And this is not your first book. You have a book back in 2010, Stay Healthy at Every Age, What Your Doctor Wants You to Know. I bet that, when you wrote that, you didn't know you were going to write a second book during a pandemic, did you?
More than that, I promised myself when I wrote that first book to never write a book again because it's so hard. And my wife said, don't you remember? I said, no, I don't remember that at all. So,
there are what we would call memory care providers that could help you with that, Doc.
Thank you. Maybe you could be my navigator and find one.
No, I mean, it's great. I mean, look, this is such an important and personal and very business-focused decision. And, you mentioned that this the world we're in today is very patient driven versus the fact that it is, and employers have to be part of that conversation. We didn't talk about the government aspect of this. We didn't talk about, the state and feds involved in this, because that seems to be a conversation that gets so darn political. And that's certainly not what we're talking about. We want simple solutions that employers can do today. They should be part of the conversation, but certainly not something that can create controversy.
Absolutely. What's been inspiring for me, I get a chance to work with leaders at the airlines and business companies. And I think employers have been at the forefront of this entire pandemic. And I think given the state of the government and the public health community, seeing them step up and really lead and innovate, it's been really inspiring for me to be part of that community. I think employers have a huge role, and I think it just got bigger.
I agree with you 100%. And I got to tell you, we thank you for the work and the essential worker care that you and all your teams have been doing out there. It's important work, and thank you for that. So we want to make sure we at the HR Power Hour make that note here today.
Thank you.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour. Dr. Nundy, we appreciate you being on the show. Please come back again, maybe, when you do your next book. Or how about if we talk about a blog next time? Because, maybe that would be a little easier for you, right, in terms of it?
There you go. Thank you so much, David.
No, you're very welcome. You are listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM.
Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.